It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World. And today we're going to try and save the world from Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Everyone has an opinion on this trial. It's people's favorite reality show. They haven't had something that transfixed them since Tiger King. So now everyone is tuning in to see what might become of these two lovebirds whose toxicity clearly is ruining both of their lives. So my question, of course, is how do people get into relationships like this? It's pretty obvious. If you are wealthy, successful, and famous, you're probably going to be attracted to other people who are also wealthy, successful, and famous, and attractive as well. So that's what happened there. Amber Heard probably looked up to Johnny Depp for a long time. She's real pretty. They started dating. So when did the fireworks begin, according to him? In his testimony, he said that things were great for about a year and a half. She was amazing. She was a dream come true. She was an ideal woman who was so good and kind to him and treated him gently in ways that he had never imagined because his childhood was so horrible that he had really given up on the female of the species. And if you listen to her testimony, and a lot of people have, he was various people at different times, depending on which substance he put in his body. And depending on those substances, he tended to get very mean and violent and abusive. So we have severed fingers, thrown bottles, threats, bruises, feces. This trial has it all. But if you're watching this and you have a sickening feeling because it reminds you so much of your relationships, maybe that's a warning sign. Maybe there are ways to not get into these things in the first place. I need a professional to figure out how relationships like this begin and how do they metastasize into something that turns into multiple courtroom dramas that really end up ruining both parties' lives. And for that, I'm turning to Dr. Laura Copley. She has a PhD in trauma. She treats traumatic events and people who suffered from them. She's a relationship expert. She's a licensed professional counselor who probably has treated her fair share of toxic couples like this. Dr. Laura Copley, welcome to Kennedy Saves the World.
Kennedy, thank you so much for reaching out and having me on this episode. I really like how you're already addressing that this sort of like toxicity can be seen almost on a spectrum. And really what we're seeing in the media right now with this trial is some horrifying tales. And we do need to be able to start separating and distinguishing some of the difference between some of the things that are representative of our trauma and how we were raised versus when it starts crossing this line in terms of abuse and how we can pull that apart and know the difference.
So people like this, these two people who clearly should not have been together, they should not have stayed together, they shouldn't have gotten married. What is the initial attraction and how powerful is that attraction for people like this? And are they literally blinded by something and unable to see what should be pretty clear warning signs?
Well, I think at the beginning for all of us, it's really hard to pull apart what is the honeymoon phase that so many of us will go through when we're on our best behavior, when we're radiating, when we're shining, when the chemistry is high, versus when we start picking up on some of the warning signs. And at what point do we need to start distinguishing between some of these warning signs as trauma that we can actually use the relationship as opportunity to slow down and heal and work through some of the things that we learned as children and what was modeled for us, versus when we're seeing red flags that are abuse, and we need to be able to learn how to distinguish those things, I think.
So who suffers from the trauma that they should recognize? Is it someone who has been through something traumatic who doesn't realize what they're doing and how they're acting out in a relationship? Or is it someone who should recognize trauma in someone else?
So what I typically see when it comes to toxic relationships, and toxic relationships, it's such a buzzword right now. But what I'm noticing is when we talk about trauma, we as a society, for once, are opening our minds and opening conversations around our individual stories. It's starting to become a thing where we lean into our childhood, starting to understand ourselves. Therapy is starting to become like part of our language, and mental health is becoming part of our language. So what is happening is when we're just talking about trauma, if one of those people were to enter in to a counselor's office, we would be opening our opening conversations around their story. Either one of them, if either one of them walked into a counselor's office, for example, we as therapists would be listening to their story, tracking where they learned these patterns, what it feels like in their bodies, what it was like having to grow up in these, because what I'm hearing is both of them have had some pretty traumatizing upbringings. And we would be validating, of course you learned how to, having to be in control of situations all the time, or having to people please all the time. The problem with toxic relationships that we're seeing is that we're drawing a line in the sand, and there is always a good guy and always a bad guy. But really what we are finding in terms of trauma therapy with couples is a toxic relationship is the manifestation of when two people with two individual traumatic stories are colliding. And what we actually need to open conversations about is how can we start to understand that in most cases, we can actually utilize the relationship, slow it down, and start talking about our individual traumas and how we can use the relationship as a means to start the healing process. These two individuals, from my understanding, did not do that.
No. And, it's also how much is narcissism at play here? Mm-hmm. So when you are a larger than life person, when your face takes up a 40-foot movie screen, and everyone around you, like, their job is to make your life comfortable and easy and to insulate you and to tell you how wonderful you are. So how much narcissism, how big of an element is that in a relationship like this, which is so clearly toxic?
So toxic and abusive. Yes. So I cannot actually, since I don't know either one of them, I am not a specialist in their individual trial and their case, but in terms of narcissism in general, what we need to look for, if this is really what we are dealing with, is an individual able to have insight and take ownership of their role in why a dynamic is happening? Can they take responsibility and accountability over making their own change to make a relationship better? So are they willing to actually do the work? And then number three, can they experience empathy? Can they actually see their person, their partner, as flesh, blood, body, soul, human being with vulnerabilities, and can they take their partner's perspective? And then the last one is, are they delighting in their partner's pain?
So and the last two, just looking at this, the last two would be, no, they don't have empathy for the other person. Otherwise, they both wouldn't be going through this protracted process. And, the other is, do I like seeing this person in pain? I think the obvious answer for both of them is yes. And this is all about two people getting back at each other. So how do you stop that? If you're in a bad relationship, how do you end it so you are not in this vicious cycle where you all you are doing is looking for new ways to get back at and hurt the other person because you feel they have hurt you so much? How do you break that cycle?
So when we are actually in that level of abuse, and that this is actually not as common as I think is plastered all over the self-help books. I personally think that we're overusing the word narcissism, we're overusing the word crazy, and we're demonizing a lot of people who are clearly traumatized and need help. But there are 100% absolutely these cases that are obvious abuse. There are individuals that are delighting and taking joy in hurting another person. And if we are being wrapped up in situations like that, we actually need to do, first of all, we need to get out. 100%, we need to find the resources, the supports in order to get ourselves out of that, because it is dangerous. We're getting into a dangerous situation. But then there is also something around self-exploration that we need to identify around what is in us as individuals that felt like we had to replicate an old pattern that we learned, an old role that we inherited before we were even old enough to understand that we were taking on the role that said, this feeling is how I'm supposed to feel and I have to stick with it. Where does that come from? Where did we learn it? How did it serve us once upon a time? How did it help us survive? And now as adults, how is it no longer serving us and actually causing really painful patterns in our life?
Don't go anywhere. More Kennedy Saves the World right after this.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
What about love addiction?
Sure.
Is it possible that these two people were suffering from and engaged in love addiction, which, you know, Dr. Drew describes as a cult of two?
Yes. So again, I'm not going to be able to speak for them. But when it comes to love addiction, there is this expectation where love is meant to hurt. And there's something that's romantic and is glamorized about painful love. It's very rock star. And it's very glamorized. And I wonder sometimes if what we're seeing in Hollywood is like art imitating life and imitating art. And maybe sometimes having a really hard time separating what is genuine, safe, secure love. What is that love that's meant to be a more of a sense of home and intimacy and connection and vulnerability versus love addiction, Hollywood style, rock star style.
And explain what that is.
What are you
asking? Love addiction.
Love addiction is, how I would describe it is this chasing of a high and a chasing of a type of misconstrued sensation of what love is. So the way that I work with that kind of toxic love in a way is tracing it back to somewhere along the line, more than likely in childhood, we learned that to be loved, to be seen, to be valued, to be worth, we had to take on a certain role. And we feel like if we have, in being that role, that is what we're looking for as adults in our romantic partnerships. And the unfortunate thing is there's an aspect of that role that is transactional, meaning you have to give me something in order for me to give you this and vice versa. And it becomes a painful cycle.
Yeah, it feels like just watching this trial. Of course, like, you know, as a culture, we are addicted to drama, especially other people's drama. You know, it's entertaining. It distracts us from our own lives. We get to experience something completely without worrying about our own experiences or how we're going to provide for work and our families and everything else. But, you know, it's nuts because these are real people and they're suing each other for a combined $150 million. And yeah. I'll be very curious to see how a jury of normal people look at this and go, you know, who are they going to feel bad for?
Right. Right. And I can't actually speak on behalf of them. I'm not a specialist on this case by any sort of means, but when we're actually leaning in towards those four red flag boxes, it's all about this game and this winner loser, who gets to be the bad guy, who gets to walk away as the winner, who gets to walk away as the loser, who is the abuser, who is the victim. That is really happening in these individuals' lives, and it is being modeled to the rest of the world. It's what we're tuning into in terms of sort of what the definition of a painful, toxic relationship is. And so many of us who might be in a relationship that might have mild ups and downs, my fear is that they're going to be grasping onto this and feeling like this is what they need to somehow replicate, that there needs to be this awful, horrifying villain in their lives. When really, in most cases, that's not what I'm seeing in my office.
Yes. And if you have friends who talk about wanting to get into relationships like that, talk them out of it. Make sure you dissuade them from that, because there are many paths to fame. And this is by no means an honorable one. So, don't do this. You don't need that. And if this is ringing true with experiences that you've had, then, you know, now maybe it's a good time to look at your own trauma and take stock in your own experiences and, you know, without judgment, and try and forge a more productive path for yourself, because it is absolutely worth it. And, you know, it is not worth going through this sort of pain toxicity and re-traumatizing yourself and a partner just so you can have a couple of trials that the world is transfixed by. And find someone like Dr. Laura Copley if you're having a really hard time and you're getting into some bad patterns, because there are good people who will help you out of bad situations like that. Dr. Laura, thank you so much for being here today and being a part of the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you again for reaching out.
This has been Kennedy Saves the World. I'm Kennedy. For more podcasts from my friends at Fox, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on foxnewspodcast.com.